We're back here on Leaders Portfolio, and I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We are with the CEO of the Neurology Center, Sally Seiler, here with us in studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
The Neurology Center was founded in 1969, has 8 locations throughout the D.C. area. All of your physicians are either board certified or board eligible in neurology and other neurology subspecialties, and you cover 8 hospitals in the area. So tell me, what's unique about the Neurology Center?
Well, I think we're probably the largest single specialty group in the D.C. area. We're one of the largest groups in the whole country. There are very few. Neurology is generally a smaller, lesser known specialty. It's not like orthopedics or primary care or gynecology. It's a smaller specialty. So it is kind of unusual to have 18 docs all in one practice.
And your background, it's an interesting story, kind of how you came. You're a CPA, and you worked for a large accounting firm working on real estate projects.
Correct.
And you got a call and never thought at all about being in the medical field. Got a call, said, we got a turnaround situation here. Can you help?
That's right. A lawyer friend of mine said, would you mind speaking to this doctor? They need some help. And I said, I don't know anything about medicine. They said, well, they don't know anything about accounting, so you guys, this will work out just great. So I said, sure, but, you know, I have some other clients. And anyway, I went in and talked with them, and it was a unique situation. Frankly, a number of their issues that were causing them problems were real estate oriented, so I was helpful in that regard. And then, you know, I got a chance to sort of go in and dissect the business, which they wanted to call a profession, which it certainly was, but I needed to look at it from a business standpoint and see what was working and what wasn't working. And I found a lot of stuff that just frankly wasn't working. They were losing a lot of money they didn't need to lose, because at that point in time, they were making a lot of money.
So interesting. And so you kind of looked at this and said, this isn't a problem of a bad business model. This is a problem of going after clients who aren't paying. And this is a problem of, you got to move your back office from the, where you're seeing patients.
Well, there was somewhat of a bad business model in that they lacked, sort of business internal controls. They weren't tracking their revenues. They spent like wildmen in terms of very extravagant expenditures that they really, most rational businesses wouldn't spend. When I was astonished, they didn't even have a budget when I got there. They just were spending money. I said, well, what's this for? Well, no one really knew. I said, can you give me, the last budget you had? They didn't have one. So I had to reconstruct everything from the ground up. They didn't even have a summary of their leases, and they had a bunch of different real estate located in 3 states, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. So that was a complicated for a small, Before I had gotten there, in fairness to them, they had been a large company. They were the largest MRI facilitator or provider in the D.C. area. And the state of Maryland put into a law something that disallowed them to refer to themselves to their MRI facility. So they had to sell off all their MRI facilities. And they did that. But what they didn't understand was that it was the MRI facilities that were making all their money and the neurology business wasn't. So what they were left was with a pile of money from the sale and a business that was a mess. So that's when I came in.
Interesting. And so is it fair to say they were one of your worst clients, now one of the best clients, and you work for them? I mean, it was like this situation where...
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of astonished at the way they'd conducted themselves, and they had a very high price payroll and all that kind of stuff and a very deep accounting department, which just they were making work for themselves, and it wasn't useful information that they were creating. Mostly they had different attitudes about what needed to happen in the company. And so I went to, they have an executive committee, like a small board of directors. They have a big board of directors, but a small executive committee. And I said, we really need to make sure everyone is on the same playing field. We're a privately held company, so it's really what makes sense for our group. There's not a right or wrong. Of course, there is morally and legally, but in terms of the goals the company has, it's really important that everyone's on the same wavelength, or we're just going to be fighting each other. We're not going to get anywhere. So a couple of the biggest areas that, groups like lawyers or accountants or doctors fight over is compensation. So we developed a very, very transparent compensation scheme. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees what everybody else gets because it's all based on production. So if you work harder, doesn't matter whether you've only been with a group a year or you've been there with the group 40 years. If you work harder, you're going to get paid more.
And that's unusual.
A lot of groups will do, you know, they'll split or they'll, the more senior you are, your work is valued more. In law firms, you can do that. In medicine, you can't. You get paid the same whether you're just out of school doc or whether you've got 15 years of experience. The fee schedules are set. Whereas lawyers or accountants or engineers may pay, you know, your billing rate may be based on a seniority. It's different in medicine. Everyone understands that, and we never have any fights over compensation, which is fabulous. So then we, you know, I said, well, we need to make sure we have similar views for our corporate values and similar views in personal values so that we're going in the same direction. So as I mentioned to you earlier, one of the goals was we want this group to be in perpetuity, and that has a lot of implications for management. It means that we want to retain our staff. We want to treat them well. We want to pay them well. We want to have a nice retirement program. We want to have tuition reimbursement. You know, the things that sort of big companies have, small companies don't typically do that. But we have employees that have been with us for 30 years, which is, you know, that's institutional knowledge you cannot buy.
Yep.
One of our values, and it's probably the number one value, is we wanted a very, very high level of professionalism and pride in their, I mean, they're physicians and they really, really, really want to practice the best medicine there can be. Pay, remarkably, after initial, you know, gnashing of teeth about pay, was not the highest goal for them. The time, quality time with their families and the importance of practicing high quality medicine was the most important thing. Well, all of those values have management and leadership directions for the company. In other words, if all they wanted to make was the most money they could possibly do it, I could set up a schedule for them and their lives would be miserable.
Right. Yep, yep.
They would be working on the clock.
And so this is your, this is great because this is kind of, you know, the leadership decisions you had to make or get others to make, or they, you know, kind of as an organization.
Right.
What parts of this leadership philosophy did you kind of develop over time, or did you know all this going in? This is what we have to do.
Well, I had been with a Fortune 100 company before I joined the Neurology Center. And so I'd had a lot of leadership and strategic planning courses, and, you know, I like to do that kind of reading. So I don't know whether I'd learned it or it became intuitive, but there was a lot of stuff that is kind of intuitive if you know that what your one early goal was just holding everybody together, you know, because people were concerned about whether we were going to be able to make paychecks and payrolls and all of that kind of stuff. So every time I might lose a doctor from the group, it meant that all the fixed overhead, and this gets to be a little bit too much accounting, but all the fixed overhead would be spread over fewer people. And there's not a lot of variable overhead in medicine. It's, you know, you have to have staff, you have to have rent, you have to pay your malpractice insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you have to pay for gowns. Gowns are about the biggest variable cost you have. Everything else is just fixed. So if you lose revenue producers or if you lose a physician, you're sharing a pot of money against fewer people. So one of the things was to get large enough that when we add incremental physicians, it just the profit spread is much larger at the bottom.
And that was so you came in 1995. How long did you take you to figure that out? Like a year?
We actually had our first major strategic planning in 1997. I came in at the end of 95, so we did our first. And
first it was just stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. We had to give up some leases. We had to pay off some landlords. We had to consolidate. You know, we had to consolidate the hemorrhaging of money. I found there were all kinds of revenue charge slips, fee slips for doctor services that weren't even charged to the patient or the insurance company. So I had to tighten up all of the internal controls in the organization so I could rely on stuff. And that took a while because people were used to doing what they were used to doing. And, you know, I'm the new kid on the block. She doesn't know anything about medicine. Well, their issues were not medicine related. They practiced great medicine. So, and during the process, and during the process of doing our strategic vision, we ended up losing some really terrific physicians who said, you know, you guys are going in directions that I don't want to go. And I'm leaving, or I can't wait till it works, kind of thing.
And so now, so the turnaround was the first couple of years, 95 through whatever. And then was there like a phase two?
Yeah, I think there was. I mean, I haven't looked at it as analytically as you're asking me right now, but right before the millennium, when everyone was panicked about whether the whole world was going to blow up because we were now going into 2000 as opposed to the 1900 series, we added essentially two groups on right before that. So there was a huge change in the organization. At that time, we added some more offices because they brought offices with them. So the group expanded to more offices. And we brought on new people. We had a lot of new people. But we also, you know, converted all of our computer systems and our phone systems and all of that kind of stuff, which is, you know, change is hard for everybody. So that was a little bit of a tumultuous time period.
And so then now I have to ask you, with this current economic climate, are you bored now? Or do you have another challenge for the neurology center?
No, I've got two huge challenges on my plate right now. One is we've just recently hired a board-certified sleep specialist, and another one of our doctors went back and got board-certified, so I now have two sleep specialists, so we're building a sleep lab. And the second challenge, which is something we're still having major discussions over within the group, is when, how, and if we move our organization to electronic medical records.
Interesting, yeah.
Which is
pros and cons.
Huge. Well, it's a huge financial investment, but the financial investment is not as troubling as the cultural investment, because it's going to force the doctors to relook at every work process in the entire organization and impact the way they interact with their patients. So
we're speaking with Sally Seiler, CEO of the Neurology Center, and Sally has a bachelor's in history from the University of Michigan, a master's in accounting from Georgetown University. And I got a Forbes business quote for you. This is from Roger Babson. More people should learn to tell their dollars where to go instead of asking them where they went. More people should learn to tell their dollars where to go instead of asking them where they went. Got a quick comment on that?
Well, from a medical standpoint, I'd say if you need, you know, check out the very best physicians if you want to put your, if you need to put your doctor dollars into medicine. On a practical standpoint, that's what the health savings accounts do right now. They are consumer oriented, asking the consumer to pay that large deductible, which when it's your money, it's a little bit more painful.
Excellent. Well, I want to just say, Sally, best of luck with the Neurology Center and your two big challenges. And thanks for sharing your story honestly about some of the business challenges, because I always say, if business leaders, you know, everybody's going through them, whether they admit them or not. You always know people have challenges in any field. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Sally Seiler, CEO of the Neurology Center, here on Leaders Portfolio. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio. We have Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If you are interested in sponsoring Leaders Portfolio, please get in touch with us. And we appreciate hearing these leadership stories from CEOs. I will be back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.